The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and you're listening to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM on Skidmore Radio. And if you'd like to give us a call, you can do so by dialing 518-580-5783. We got a lot of good topics to talk about today, and I want to welcome our guest, Wendy Libertor, from the Times Union, who's probably one of the most accurate and best reporters for the Saratoga County area. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Rick.
You know, it's so nice to have you on here, and you are kind of like our quarterly guest because we do get a lot of information from you and stuff. So glad
you're
here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, too.
You know, we have a lot of topics to discuss today, and one of the ones I want to start with first. And there's two of, well, this one is time sensitive for May. Then we have one time sensitive for June, which I don't understand. But anyway, I want to talk about the school board elections.
Oh, yes. That is quite contentious.
It is contentious. And the thing is that, as you were saying, when you run for the school board, you shouldn't have an agenda. You should want to be elected to do what's best for the kids when you're on the board, and you can hear the other board members' discussions and what the parents say. Shouldn't go in, I don't think, with a pre-planned agenda. Is that kind of your idea of what?
Or? Well, it certainly should be a nonpartisan election, and because they just... The current school board decided to disarm the grounds monitors, who were not all of them, but many of them were carrying concealed weapons for 30 years on campuses. It ended up being a political nightmare because many of the people who felt the monitors should be armed turned it into a Second Amendment issue. The reason they disarmed the monitors is because it didn't comply with state and federal law. Mm-hmm. They could have overridden it, but the people and allowed them to continue. But the school board felt they had a school resource officer who carries a weapon and who's on site all the time. They felt that was sufficient.
And I think it was. I mean,
yes. And then that exploded into a group forming Saratoga Parents for Safer Schools. They feel that a safe school is a school with many armed police officers, or, well, these are retired police officers. And they've turned it into this massive fundraising machine. Yeah. They've gone down to Florida, raised loads of money that they're paying a Go Right Strategies, a Republican strategist to create lots of ads.
Sure.
You know, so it's definitely, this is unprecedented for the state of New York. This,
yeah. And to hire, I mean, you know, like you said, to hire a PR firm to do your bidding. Well, of the amount of money that this PAC raised was $33,000, I think.
Yes.
Now, I was told by one of the political candidates who tried to get his Facebook page up that he couldn't do it. So he had to call it Citizens for, you know, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this PAC changed their name, Saratoga Parents for Safety Schools, as a community organization so they could keep their Facebook presence.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, anyway, as I said, they raised over $30,000, 33 and change probably.
Yes.
And it's they're backing three candidates, Sean Wiggins, Ed Kubansky, and Dean Collegian or whatever. And they're the beneficiaries of this $30,000. I think to date they've spent, as of 2 weeks ago, they spent over $17,000. I mean, they're making Facebook ads, video and audio.
Yes.
As you said, the strategist is creating cable TV ads for them. And you know what? If they didn't do that and just ran on their own, they're smart people. But so are the people that are running against them. There's three other ones, Heather Reynolds, Natalia.
Latakia, yeah.
Yeah, Latakia Hanna. John Brueggemann and...
Connie Watoch.
Right. She's a South Colony science teacher. It just seems to me, I mean, we got very well-qualified candidates running, but this changes, this raising of this money by the Robin Dalton, I think, Melissa Zeiker and Kara Rossetti are the driving force behind this PAC. I think raising this kind of money is going to change the landscape of running for the school board.
Absolutely. It absolutely could. But at the same time, it might backfire on them. A lot of people are upset that they have changed the tone of something that should be of a more civil discourse.
Right.
And making it political. Of course, Kara Rossetti and her group believe that the school board made it political by not allowing the monitors to carry weapons. So there's a lot of back and forth of accusing others of making it political. But it's, I would say, the raising of the money and shows who made it political.
Right. You know, I don't care what side of the issue you're on, whether you want armed guards or you don't want armed guards. I think the, like you said, the main issue here is the amount of money these people raise. And in a way, I hope it does backfire just because people have to show that that's not the way you win a board of election seat, by raising over $30,000. Now, I've got some figures here of school board elections. What a typical school board candidate raises money. 61% of those running for school board seats. Now, I think this is a national figures. 61% running for school board seats raise no money. They may put out of pocket a couple hundred dollars for signs.
Correct.
19% raise between $1 and $100. So that's 80% of school board candidates, you know, don't raise any more than $100. And that's only 19%. 14% raise between $100 and $500. And 3% raise 500 to 1,000, and 3% raise more than $1,000. Now, that just goes to show you how school board elections should be run.
Right. And Parents for Safer Schools has $11,000, more than $11,000 to spend on each of their candidates.
Yeah.
But interestingly, yesterday, the teachers' union at the school, which has a lot of influence, apparently, over who should be elected to school board, has come out to back John Brueggemann, Natalia Latakia.
Right.
I'm sure I'm mispronouncing her name.
And we're sorry if we are.
And Dean Collegian. And which is interesting because they have a little mix. They put Dean, who is for arming the monitors.
Right.
But Dean's expertise is in security with Trustco Bank. So maybe he has a more moderate stance on arming the monitors. I'm not sure.
Sure. Well, the thing is, too, I'll tell you, my wife was a teacher, a speech therapist, worked for a school district. And the reason why I think teachers' union has a lot of clout in elections is because they will contact every union member, even if they don't live, work in the city. So if you remember, like my wife was a member of the teachers' union, she worked at BOCES down in Fulton, Montgomery, Hamilton counties. Well, she used to get the literature for the school board elections here. So they have a far-reaching hand. And if you're a union member, a teachers' union member, you probably, not everybody, but you probably will go, you know, along with, you know, the union. So I think that's why they, you know, that the teachers' union has a little clout, especially in school board elections, because people don't usually go out and vote on school board elections. Like myself, I will not go to vote for a school on the school board or the budget unless they have unless they reduce the number of administrators, because I feel schools are overloaded with high-paying school administrators, and when they go to cut the budget, they cut kids' programs, and I don't
like
that.
That's true. Yes. Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, I mean, this year they're going to have a lot of people coming out to vote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
This is the most engaged I've ever seen any school board race, and.
But it's made that way by three people. I mean, who? The other candidates, you don't see much of literature. Or you think they'd have a letters to the editor campaign at least.
Right. Natalia, though, she, whatever money she's raised, she's given it back to the school for programs to help feed the kids that don't have enough money. So in their lunch funds. Yeah,
fund.
Right. So that's what she's doing with her money. John Brueggemann did raise some money, and he's spending it on signs.
Okay. Well, maybe now that it's getting closer, they'll put their signs out. But certainly, I mean, with $33,000, the signs that they're erecting are almost billboards.
Yes, there are huge signs that particular group is putting up.
And they're across the street from polling places. So,
yes.
Like, you know, I don't know. I just, like I said, depending on what side of the issue we're on, this year I don't think should be the issue. I would say the issue should be is get a hold of Robin Dalton, who else did I say? Robin Dalton, Melissa Zeiger, and Kara Rossetti.
Yeah.
And tell them you think it's disgusting the amount of money they raised to politicize these three candidates.
Yeah.
That I think that's a disgusting amount of money. I really do. So.
The ophthalmologist in Amsterdam that gave $12,000. Said that he gave that money because, you know, kids' safety is number one. But guns in the school don't always translate into
safety.
Right.
No, they don't. I mean, in most school shootings, the armed officers in the school has no part in the outcome of the incident. It's usually the first responders that get there, because they do get there in a short amount of time. The armed guards, as we saw in Florida, we talked about, stayed outside the school.
Right.
And the one that they had in Colorado, I don't think there was a student that stopped the shooters. I mean, the one student that got killed.
Right.
And I even heard that school is a STEM school that has 2,000 students, and the school is a city block long. And my gosh, you'd have to have an army outfit to protect the kids. And I also heard that the drug usage is way over the national average for students, and the suicide rate is way over the national average. So I think there's something inherent wrong with that school, and the school's not addressing the problem.
Yes, well.
And it's sad, but, you know, it really is sad. And
it is sad.
Most of the shootings are done by students, too. And they
said that
the reason why parents are so upset with the administration is because 2 months ago, there was talk in the school about these kids doing something, and the school never did anything about it.
Yes, that's correct.
And you know what? So whose fault is that?
Exactly.
I feel bad for children that die in schools. Thank God. I was talking with Mark. We went out for coffee yesterday, and they said, thank God we didn't have to grow up even worrying about something like
that.
That's
right.
I mean, the only thing we had to worry about was what kid was going to be behind the corner shooting a squirt gun at us or something.
Yes,
you know?
I mean,
gee whiz.
No, times have changed. We're in scary times.
It is. It is scary times. And I feel bad for young children that are growing up having to put up with this, because I think it causes a lot of problems down the line.
Yeah, it causes a lot of stress on kids.
Stress,
yeah.
You know?
Suicide's up for all children, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, even if you're not in the school district, you're always wondering if that's going to happen in our school district.
But right.
Like I say, it's usually not the the armed guards that really stop the problems. It's the
people,
first responders.
Right.
You know.
It's the people who happen to be standing there at the moment that it starts happening.
Yeah.
The teachers students.
I see the state of Florida just passed a law, the governor passed a law that you could have armed teachers in their schools.
Yes.
And that's a little scary if they haven't had training.
Right. Well, apparently they're going to have training, which would be important. And apparently they're supposed to be mentally fit. So I don't know how they're going to...
how do you test that? Because
I know.
You could have a science teacher shoot a math teacher because they have... Somebody took a sandwich over to lunch. It's crazy. So the Board of Election, or the election is in May, May 25th.
May 21st.
Oh, May 21st.
Yes.
And I would suggest people that really don't know much about it to look into it. I mean, there's certainly a lot of information on the Times Union, which you can... go online. I mean, it's a great paper to get a subscription for. But Wendy does a great job of covering the county and also Saratoga Springs. I mean, it's, you know, there really is a lot of information. The next thing I want to talk about, because I want to spend some time on the primary that's coming up in June and some of the things that I don't think people know about, but I want to get into NYRA a little bit. NYRA, over the years, has certainly changed the image from the historic, 150-year-old historic track and making it more modern. And a lot of people are kind of against that because they want the history. But as we'll get into in the next discussion, so is Saratoga losing its history. And, of course, they still refer to Saratoga as a city in the country. Well, if you believe that, then you're smoking something.
Yes.
Because it isn't.
No, basically they want to pave over every inch of Saratoga.
Right.
That's not a park, a designated park right now.
That's right. But NYRA has... added top of the stretch last year, which wasn't used to its capacity, I don't think. And that's all modern. I mean, you know, they spent a lot of money for that. And this year they built a 3-story glass structure, which there's talk it's going to stay open year-round. So I'm sure it'll take away business from the Racino Casino over there by the harness track, which the city makes money on.
Yes.
And I don't know what the deal is going to be with NYRA, if they're going to give a percentage of their betting, because they'll have simulcasting year-round, plus a dining room that'll stay open year-round. But the amount of money for the suites
they're pretty outrageous.
It's awesome. I mean, if you go to the third floor, I think it is,
of the new 1863 Club.
Of the new 1863 Club, you can get a table for six for the meet, for the 40-day of racing, for $48,000.
Yeah.
You can get a table for two for the meet for only, I think it's $28,000.
I don't know a lot of people who could spend that for...
No, I don't. But, you know, as I was telling you before the show, the $48,000 sections, there's two of them already sold for the meet.
Right.
Which I don't know who they are. I don't know if the Sultan of Dubai is one of them or...
Perhaps, but it's getting prohibitive to the average Saratogian who used to enjoy the track.
Yeah.
They feel like they can't... They can go there and be in the backyard with picnic tables on top of each other.
Sure.
But...
Or pay for a seat in the clubhouse or be outside on the tarmac. But you don't, when you're doing that, you don't have a seat because you have to pay, I don't know what the seats are now, $25 in the clubhouse.
Yes,
which,
yep.
You know, you're up from the finish line. But, and not only the average Saratogian, it's the people that used to come from almost all over the country and even some from all over the world used to get the box seats, and enjoy the races. It's just getting to a point where for 6 weeks, you know, what are we spending all this money for when people came to the track for its history?
Right. Well, yeah, and now it's 7 weeks, basically.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people, including the Whitneys, are feeling that Naira is ruining Saratoga.
Yeah, exactly.
And Naira needs... to make money. I understand that. One of the things after the state took them over and then the state released them, they were to get their business in order,
right,
and make some money. But I think they're going a little wild on this and forgetting their true blue fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it's for $1,200, you can get a group of 12 people and go down and get your picture taken with the winning horse.
Yes.
The race.
They're monetizing everything. If you want a table on a Saturday, you have to pay for a table on Friday and Sunday now.
Yeah, 3 days.
Yes, even if you only want to be there one day.
Yeah.
And then they can sell that table. If you don't show up, they will sell that table to somebody else for the same price.
And you've already paid for it, so
right,
they're getting double
yes,
pay. Yeah, it's sad when things get carried away.
Yes.
And it just doesn't have the atmosphere, you know, and a lot of people like that atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's harder to see the horses. It's you know, because the picnic area that can be near the horses, again, you have to have a season pass or get in a lottery to get in there, and it's just it's the most complicated
formula to do things,
right, to try to figure out how to go to the track if you're not just going to sit in the back on the picnic tables, because a lot of it is you have to be a season ticket
holder.
Right.
Yeah. Well, also, I think some of the new pricing that they have is, two-seat table, I wanted to make a correction, is $18,000, not $28,000. You can have, name a race, up to 15 guests will step into the winner's circle and have their picture taken with the winning jockey, and that includes a personalized race name listed in the program and an 8x10 photograph. They also started something new this year that if you want to wish your friend a happy birthday or tell a loved one happy anniversary, it'll cost you $100 and it'll play on the infield board. And you can also take a tour of the paddock area with a maximum of 15 guests, and that will cost $350. And that's subject to availability. I'm sure on Saturdays it'll be tough with the horses that are in there. And, you know.
And now a lot of the races during the week aren't even graded. So there's a sense that not only is everything getting more expensive there, but the quality of racing is going down. And, again, people like the Whitney saying they're ruining Saratoga. That's why we're not even going to bother showing up for the opening.
Yeah.
Which they always hosted the opening day luncheon with.
Oh, my gosh.
That was so a huge thing. But they just said this, Naira's killing it.
Well, they're disappointed in it. I mean, you know, the Whitneys and some of the older families believed in keeping the history of Saratoga unique. I've spoken to people that come from, you know, out west, and I even spoke to a couple that used to come from London, and they said they love the age of the track and how it shows the age. Mm-hmm. And you don't go many places in the world where that happens. And I think a lot of tracks want to modernize and that, but, you know, for 6 weeks, Saratoga could stay historical because they didn't have to run it year-round. And
I don't know who they're going to get in there to eat year-round at the 1863 Club. They're not going to be looking at horses running around the track. Do they expect people to just watch TV?
Oh, yeah, the simulcast. And they'll be able to host wedding receptions.
That's true.
And parties.
They need to update the food, though, because I've been told the food's not very good anywhere on the track.
Right. The other thing is it may upset downtown merchants, restaurants that host parties and, you know.
It most certainly will.
It's going to be a beautiful building. There's no way around that. And there'll be a bridge, and I think the bridge is up already, that'll take you from the clubhouse over to the second floor. Of course, I'll never take it because I'm afraid of heights, so I'll probably pass out and go over the bridge, you know, onto one of the horses that are walking over the horse path.
But,
I mean, it's going to be a beautiful building for sure, but does it blend with the history of the Saratoga race course? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens, you know.
It'll certainly be a contrast to the rest of the track stands.
Most definitely. So. And it has a copper roof on the whole building, too.
Mm.
And I want to take out some stock in copper.
Yes.
But so we'll see what happens. On a couple other fronts, you know, we do have quite a bit of time left, but I want to make sure we get at least these three topics in because the state changed the primary date this year because I think of the early voting.
That's correct.
And the primaries used to be in September, which gave candidates, especially not so much for the incumbents, but for the a person running against the incumbent, time to see the people, have house parties, maybe give the candidates debates, and all that's out the window this year. You had to start getting petitions in February, which, as everybody knows, in upstate New York is a terrible time of the year. And a lot of days, you know, it's either very cold or snowy, so it's hard for someone to go out and get petitions signed. And then you only have until June. But one of the only primary in Saratoga this year is Michelle Madigan, who is the commissioner of finance and has been that way since for 8 years. And we have a new person running, Patty Morrison. Now, Patty is very well qualified. I mean, she, Michelle's claim to fame was running a library budget of, I think, $3 million, while Patty runs multi-million dollar budgets and, you know, just has a great track record. She got the most signatures of any candidate. When she went around, people were very interested in what she had to say.
Yeah, and they felt they finally have a choice.
Yeah, and they have a choice, which is unusual in Saratoga Springs.
Run unopposed.
Yeah, and well, so has Skip Scirocco.
Yes.
Who has an opponent this year, and the mayor has an opponent, and we've got two new people running for commissioner of safety, public safety, which... I don't know. We'll get into that another time. I don't believe one of them should even be in the race. But anyway, and I want to call out Michelle Madigan. And I personally had some problems with Michelle when we were running for the change of charter. I think she's a very nasty person. And I'll say it on the air. She is nasty to constituents that are out in the audience at council meetings. She is nasty when you talk to her. She bordered on, it's hard for me to pull the word out now, but character assassination on myself online. So I'm glad she has a candidate that's running against her this year. Now, there's also some things, and we'll get into Patty because you know a little bit more of the news than I do.
Yes, yep.
On this, but a couple of the things that Patty has said is that she wants to bring Saratoga
back for Saratogians, as opposed to she views the current city council, which includes Michelle Madigan, as working for developers and changing the city landscape to accommodate them. So Patty says, walking around, she's done a lot of door-to-door when she collected signatures. Apparently, she collected three times
the
what she needed.
Yes.
And people are just fed up with, especially over by the hospital, of this continued expansion, and now it's all going to be bordered on people's backyard. And,
right.
And Patty is... set on keeping Saratoga City in the country.
Sure. Well, one of the things about this hospital expansion is that the hospital has run out of their own property. Now, nobody's against hospital being one of the best. I mean,
yes,
you can't argue that. But years ago, they tried to do this, and the neighborhood basically put a stop to that. Put the pressure on the politicians to put a stop to that.
Yes.
Because they wanted to take their homes and their open space away from them. So one of the things that ties in together, and again, you have to look at things, and people, I think, in Saratoga especially, don't look into things. They vote with their heart instead of their heads. They don't know issues, you know. But one of the things is that Matt Jones, who's an attorney in Saratoga, hosted a fundraiser for Michelle Madigan.
He represents the hospital as well as an expansion over at the harness track for affordable housing.
That's right. And and he,
which many people also oppose.
Exactly. And he hosted that fundraiser at his home. Now, he's a longstanding Republican, which doesn't mean anything. I mean,
right,
party
Michelle's
affiliation
a Democrat.
Today. Yeah, Michelle's a Democrat. But that, you know, I went from Republican to an independent because I don't think parties matter today. And in all honesty, if you could have a third party, which I would like, and the party that I like is the Libertarian Party, which could give good to both sides, but I think we need a third party in this country now, because basically we've gotten to the point where one party, when they're in office, wants this. When they're out of office, they don't want it. And I think, you know, it's just not right anymore.
Right. The people's desires and needs get left on, just put on the back burner.
Right. So anyway, as you said, Matt is on the City Center Board, and a lot of issues come up for the City Center Board. So he represents the City Center Board and appears before the council for
regularly.
He's also one of his main areas of law are zoning. So he's before the council on many, many issues.
He's pushing zoning so that, which will clear the way for the hospital project.
Exactly. And now, as I said, that wasn't an issue because it was defeated, I'm going to say 10 years ago. I don't even know if it was that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It was only about 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And now Michelle says she won't have a vote on that until after the primary because she's for the expansion. And Mayor Kelly, who when she was running for office, went to those homeowners in that area and said she would do whatever she could to protect them against the expansion, but now it's said that she's for the expansion.
Yes, those folks feel very betrayed over by the Saratoga Hospital. By Meg Kelly.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people feel betrayed on a lot of issues by the politicians that are in office now. Now, I know John Frank is going to recuse himself from the vote, and you know, John and I get along really well. I mean, we're good friends until charter change comes along. Then we're bitter enemies. And then we always laugh after the votes. And, you know, we hate each other for like maybe 5 months, but then we laugh about it after. And
that's,
you know,
good.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
But he's recusing himself. And I think that I think Michelle Madigan should recuse herself because of her ties with Matt Jones. And I don't even think the board should vote on this, to tell you the truth, because of their association with Matt Jones and all the deals he has his hands in appearing before the council.
Yes, he's given a lot of money to almost everybody sitting on that council.
That's right.
To get them elected. And then, in particular, with Commissioner Madigan, he hosted that fundraiser.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure brought in a good deal of money.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Because, like you say, from the Republicans have no one running against the winner of the primary, so it'll be an unopposed election again. I think the Republicans did have a candidate, but his petitions were challenged, and they found a lot of irregularities with the names, and they got discarded, and then he ended up not having enough. So he was thrown off of the ballot. So it's going to be the winner of this primary, this Democratic primary, that's going to be on the council. I think I think legally it's a problem for Mr. Jones to go to the council now and ask for a decision on anything.
Yeah.
It might be, it may not be, but ethically, you know, Madigan has an obligation to the citizens and not to an attorney that you know, goes before the council almost every council meeting.
And interestingly, Matt Jones spoke for the city at the county meeting when the county passed the zoning changes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So
basically he represented Matt's, the city.
Yeah, he explained how much care the city took in planning out these zoning changes and
It's convoluted, and I wish the
Matt's
citizens,
involved in everything.
He is. No, he is involved in everything, and I like Matt. I'm not saying Matt's a bad guy. I mean, I like
right.
Matt.
Well, he's certainly smart politically.
Oh, most definitely. He's smart politically. I mean, his father was mayor of the city and did a lot. I mean, he's the one that's, I think, responsible for the city center.
Okay.
Was a big
That was Ellsworth
pusher.
Jones.
Ellsworth Jones, which
yeah.
was Matt's father.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should really kind of know what's going on here.
Yeah.
and it always seems to be Michelle's questionable behavior and judgment that seems to be her trump card. Because she always gets people confused or berates them into the point where they don't want to say anything
yes,
more.
Yes, if you agree with her, you're golden. Right. But if you don't, watch out.
Well, a good friend of mine said that, you know, the signs around the city that says we are a welcoming community. He said below that there should also be, if you agree with us.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, but, you know. I don't know. And the next thing that bothers me is this fiber optics plan that Michelle is taking credit for about instituting fiber optics in the city, which the lines would be underground. And by the way, Time Warner, when they were here as a cable company, didn't want the cables underground because of the cost it would be to repair anything. And I think the city bears the responsibility of repairing because the fiber optic lines are going to be running through the sewer lines, which they are exclusively the only outfit to use the sewer lines for anything. Other than sewage.
Yeah. Well, and the plan is a 30-year plan. And critics would say in 30 years, it's going to be...
Well, I think the longest that... I don't know if it's the longest that's allowed for a contract of this like this, but 10 years is about the limit that anything should be without renewal. As a matter of fact, I think Time Warner's contract is a 10-year deal. And the city makes about $500,000 a year, I was told, off of the Time Warner deal. Now, with the fiber optic deal, they're not making anything. So over 30 years, we're going to be losing roughly around $5 million for 10 years or $15 million. But as Michelle said, we'll be making after so long 4% of whatever she's using, and this company Sci-Fi,
yes.
It's called, based in New Jersey, doesn't come without concerns. Mike Santarelli, the director of Advanced Communication Law and Policy Institute at New York Law School. He's one of the biggest sci-fi, what do you want to call it, knows the most about this company.
Yes.
And he said as part of his ongoing research, he tracked Sci-Fi's efforts, and he follows broadband projects throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound familiar to you.
Yes, I wrote that story.
He says he's identified a dozen cities that Sci-Fi tried to work with over the last 6 years, and to his knowledge, there hasn't been a successful result of Sci-Fi's effort on the scale of Saratoga. Saratoga would be the first. And he said there were cities that agreed to partner with Sci-Fi, but the deals all fell through because he said they took a harder look at the numbers. And I think Saratoga should have taken a harder look at the numbers. But it seems Michelle, who created a committee when she was elected to look into things like this, wanted this to be her a pet project. And I don't think it's a good deal because people will still have to pay to get the fiber optic hookup from the sewer line to their home.
Right.
So what are people saving?
Yeah. Well, and Mr. Santarelli there said the 30-year deal, and because they have not been successful with any city. And I talked to the other cities that drop sci-fi, and none of them would tell me why.
Really?
Yeah. They don't want to discuss what happened. So
that
remains.
Odd, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a mystery. They don't want to admit any mistakes. I'm sure that's what it is. You know, that
you
they
think it would help other cities. If they
right.
did.
But maybe they don't want to talk to a reporter. Maybe they would talk to Michelle Madigan about it. But
call up and see her, Michelle Madigan. Yeah. And they'd like to find out about why these other cities dropped you. I mean,
yeah.
I'm having second thoughts. You know?
Yeah. Well, she swears it's a good deal and, you know, will be for 30 years. So.
Yeah. And she also said in 100 years, it'll still be here. But if fiber
right.
optics is the thing in 100 years, we're in big trouble.
Yes, I'm sure it won't be.
Especially in the sewer lanes.
Yeah.
So if you hear anything in your boudoir or your toilet that's voices are coming out of there,
yeah.
don't worry. That means there's a leak in the sewer line and the fiber optic cable broke. And
yeah, I don't know, but... It's a confusing topic because, you know, we're talking about things in the future and, yeah, I think it's confusing and it's easy to convince people to go a certain way when we really don't know what the future holds.
Right. And the, Michelle Madigan said that we have the option to renew it for another 30 years. But Santorelli said that he has some concern because Sci-Fi has the option to extend it for another 30 years without council approval. And if the council says they really don't want to do it, then they have to buy the whole
yes, and they have to
caboodle.
That's right.
And that's
going to
be a lot of money.
Yes. Now, I think it's 10% above what it costs
right,
to
so,
install it. So...
Yeah. Now, one of the additional things that is going to happen is that Sci-Fi will remit annually to the city $45,000 and to the Department of Public Works. And Madigan said that would be half of the cost of hiring a contact person between Sci-Fi and the city. So and they would have to hire a new city engineer.
Yes.
Now, that's $90,000 without benefits. And I think they say that benefits for an employee is about, it may be higher, but I'm going to say 55% of the salary.
Okay.
So it's $135,000 cost to the city. And I don't know. I mean, right there, you've got a 30-year cost.
Well, she says half of it's going to be paid by Sci-Fi.
Salaries go up.
I
and
know.
If they're committed to $45,000.
Right, and it's a 30-year.
Right.
It's a 30-year
They didn't say
commitment.
They were going to up their $45,000.
Right.
They just said we'll commit $45,000 to
true.
That. So the city's
right.
Portion.
Would be probably taking care of the raises
in
the future, in the next 30 years.
Exactly, and maybe 60 years.
Right.
And in the meantime, we lose the income that we get from Time Warner. I don't know how, because you can also get high speed. I think you pay a little bit more for Time Warner, but you can get high speed access. And we get it at home, and we have mm-hmm. no problem downloading in a fast amount of time. So Verizon has had fiber optics for a long time, and that hasn't really caught on to a lot. So we have a caller, and we'll take the call. Good morning, caller.
How are you today?
Oh, we're just ducky.
Good, good. Hey, I have a question for you. I hear you talking about this this Wi-Fi service or smart city. I don't think anybody would argue the importance of a smart city, and many cities across the country are moving towards smart city, which I completely understand and think it's a great idea. What it appears to me, though, that, and I've done a lot of homework on this subject here in town, and what I find at this point is that, you know, we seem to have agreed to do business with a company that has no track record. We've signed apparently a 30-year contract, which could turn into a very long, I mean, 30 years is way too much anyway, but the idea of it turning into what could be a 60-year sole source agreement is foolish, because you're now putting all your eggs in one basket. And quite frankly, we don't even know if this company has a basket, but we've selected a company that has no track record. We've given them a 30-year contract. And what I read in this contract, and I've picked this stuff off the city's website, that they, the vendor, can agree to yet another 30-year deal. So you sit down and you think, well, how can a city sign a contract that's with anybody for that length of time, number one, and to forego some of the benefits of a competitive marketplace in a new marketplace, which is what Smart City is all about. It's just crazy. I'd like to get some feedback on that.
Okay.
Well, I think a lot of people have the same concerns as you do. I've heard this from many people, and actually when City Council passed it, Peter Martin, who is an attorney, the Commissioner of Public Safety, said he too was concerned about this, but agreed to it after the Commissioner of Finance said it was a good deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was worried about
the length of the contract.
The length of the contract, and that they were giving them the only outfit or company to use the sewer lines that, and you know, you shouldn't give someone complete access for 30 years with a possible 60-year deal. So, but then, like you say, he voted for it. And Skip Scirocco, of course, said in August that he discussed with Sci-Fi, and he doesn't see a problem with the clause. Of course, he wouldn't, because...
Well, he and Michelle Madigan are usually aligned on the city council.
Well, you probably didn't know this, but they were Siamese twins that were separated at the hip. And a lot of people don't know that, but they do think alike. We have the caller again. Morning caller.
Yeah, I called a minute ago. One thing I wanted to add to that whole piece, you may or may not be familiar with what's called a service level agreement, which basically formalizes who's going to do what and what standards you can live with during the contract. And I was reading where the service level agreement with Sci-Fi gives them the ability to have up to 120 days to repair any issues that they have caused. Can you imagine living without internet service for 120 hours, let alone 120 days?
No.
And again, a very disappointing contract. I mean, shame on Mrs. Madigan for even bringing this company into the fold. But it looks into the point where, like, why isn't the city attorney going, wait a minute, this is not right. A service level agreement for 120 days, or they can have an outage for 120 days and still not get penalized.
Well, Bob, I just want to say one thing. You know, you're completely right. You know, we discussed that. But also for the 120 days, well, not knowing where the break is, you won't be able to flush your toilet either, because the lines are in the sewer. So,
think of that.
No, it is. It is. But I want to get on with more, and I appreciate the call. And
right.
And we talked about this, so thanks a lot.
You bet.
Bye-bye. You know, I just want to say another topic about Michelle. And, you know, she's coming out with all this information, which really is disinformation, a lot of it. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Michelle didn't do some good things over the 8 years she's been in. but now, since the primary's coming up, I think she's a little nervous. And she's coming out with things that really aren't, I don't think, kosher. She said that she's very pleased with this year's fiscal performance. She reports a $1.2 million operating surplus for 2018. And I read last year that the income tax was down that we received, as the bed tax that Saratoga yes. receives was down.
But she's saying our sales tax has brought us over the top.
Right. And I don't think that's...
But those are unaudited figures.
Right. They are unaudited figures. And now our tax year goes January to December, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Now, and she says our general fund is $17.6 million. Now, I've heard from some finance watchers that this... general fund balance is under $16 million because she's using that to keep taxes with no taxes. And so she's using the rainy day fund to in
yes.
lieu of taxes.
And that's why a lot of Republicans like her, because in her years in office, she hasn't raised taxes more than a blip. So...
Well, any candidate that's run for the finance office that was in office as an, you know, that had raised taxes because of necessity. I think you have to raise taxes.
Yes, because everything does go up.
Right, even if it's a percent or half a percent.
Right.
I mean,
a half a percent, 1%, I think people can easily swallow.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And you don't want to spend your rainy day fund. I mean, but every finance person that's been in office that did raise taxes has been voted out of office, which here again, people don't know what's going on.
Yes.
They just,
yeah.
I mean, it's done by what they feel.
It's all about their personal pocketbook, which
right.
I understand. But,
I understand how people feel, but it's not realistic. It's not a realistic.
Right, no, and it could be Saratoga might be headed for some financial troubles because it hasn't been keeping up.
Well, we talked about Patty Morrison's wanting to hold Saratoga back a little bit. You had
yes.
mentioned, you know, we're becoming a blacktop city instead of
for the wealthy
and a report did come out that says that Saratoga is number 3 in the state, number 35 in the country with the largest income disparity.
Yes.
There's people making, I think,
over $2 million
a year.
Yep.
And some, the average is below 50,000.
Yes.
Now, with a city like Saratoga becoming a tourist city, which, you know what? I think we were a tourist city before.
Yes,
it
always.
In the 80s and 90s.
Yes,
I mean,
yep.
you know, it was a tourist city for August, you know, but there wasn't anything here back in that time. But we're a tourist city year-round. There's conventions that are here, you know, year-round.
Yes.
People come. I don't think you needed all these million-dollar condos and things of that nature, $500,000 homes. But getting back to the tourist industry, you have a lot of restaurants that employ dishwashers, waitresses, busboys, bartenders that don't make a lot of money.
And they can't live here.
They can't live in Saratoga.
And if they don't have a good running car, which they don't make a lot of money, so they don't have a good running car,
right.
they don't show up for work.
Right.
And the restaurants are in trouble. The restaurants have terrible time keeping these people.
Right. And everybody knows that's been in business. I mean, I've been in business. The hardest part about being in business are employees, because they are the face of your business. So
yes.
if you don't have employees coming into work, I mean, that will make your business suffer, because, you know, there's only a certain amount that your other staff can make up for.
Right.
So we've got a dilemma, and they talk about affordable housing, and that starts out at maybe $1,200 or $1,500.
Yeah, it's still a lot.
You know, you make $300 a week in a restaurant as a dishwasher. How can you afford that?
You can't.
So I think we are heading in Saratoga for a problem, and I think someone needs to take the reins and become sensible. And it certainly seems like what Patty Morrison is espousing, as well as some of the other candidates, Dylan Moran for Public Works and Kendall Hicks for mayor.
Or public safety.
Our public safety, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I think it's time that we turn over the council. It's been that way except for a few members of the same people because they never have opposition. But I think these people that are running know that we have a problem, that we need to change.
Right, but they feel that the best way to keep things going is develop so they can get more county money.
Yep.
So,
because on condos, you really don't make that amount of money because your property's taxed, not the buildings. I mean, you can buy a $400,000 condo and not pay taxes on a $400,000 home.
Right.
You're paying a percentage of what the property that sits on costs.
Yes.
And that's a law. I mean, you know, John Frank would like to change that law, but the state says you can't. That's how it's done. I think there's only one city in the state that they allowed to switch, and it was Buffalo.
Interesting.
And that might be because of the shape Buffalo is in.
Yes.
That they needed the tax money to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I heard that a few years ago. And I think John's the one that told me, but I don't want to hold him to that. So, you know, I mean, I just don't understand it now.
They're comparing Saratoga now to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And Westchester County,
that's
which
sad.
Are really prohibitive as far as housing goes,
yep.
And it's causing a problem for the businesses.
Now I know the council did a good thing that they voted no on a 96 unit workforce, which it doesn't really mean anything mm-hmm. anymore. Apartment building and property. 30.27 acres near the Saratoga Casino Soccer Fields.
Okay, they voted no on that.
They
all
voted
right.
no.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was another Matt Jones project.
Yeah, Matt Jones wanted that. Well, like I say, his forte is zoning, and the payment in lieu of taxes came into being, and. That agreement was up to a maximum of 40 years with the hope of securing municipal improvements. The planning board gave an unfavorable reaction.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Racino folks wanted it to go to their workers because their workers, again, can't live, but the neighbors and the neighbors are not happy with it. And it's interesting you say the planning board, because the planning board is looking, asking a lot of questions about the zoning changes, because the zoning changes in the city are now in the planning board. And I think there's the city attorney has asked the planning board to not... dig deep into it, but to just basically approve it. He,
right. It's interesting because they want an official vote taking in late June or July, so it's really not a dead issue yet. But here again, what you're going to be sacrificing is green space for soccer fields for the kids. And where are you going to make that up?
Right, right.
You're not going to make that up in Saratoga. Because you can't play soccer on blacktop.
No.
Safely. You know, I'm sorry. We're a little over our time. John's not going to be happy, although he understands this. I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
And I hope we can get together after the primaries and the school board elections, and we can do that before the end of June when I go on a 3-month hiatus because of the track.
I would love to do that.
All right. So I want to thank everybody for being here. Pay attention to the school board issues. pay attention to the primary issues. Everything's coming up very soon. So thank you for being with us. Next week we have Dylan. No, we don't. We have Patty Morrison. He's running in the primary against Madigan. And she'll have some good information. So tune in, and we'll be back next Saturday.
Romance. When the music stops, then you change your partner.